Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy. And in our ever-longing pursuit to try to keep you encouraged in this season, I have invited Max to come back and rejoin us again. And he is, from his virtual holdup in San Antonio, Texas, he's dialed in all the way to the New York offices of Kevin McCullough Radio. And Max, it's always a joy to hear your heart and voice. We do sometimes seem to get together more often under crisis than under good times. I don't know if that's necessarily the way I'd like it to be, but nonetheless, that's how God draws us together sometimes.
Yeah, and I'm so thankful to have these moments with you, Kevin. So appreciative of you and your steadiness over all these many, many years and different times of crisis. But this is unlike any that we've ever faced, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I would. I was actually thinking about since I started my public career of media, certainly there's been nothing like this. I tried to think of my lifetime. Nothing in my entire life has seemed anywhere near this. I looked in the recent history. You know, there's not been a world pandemic since the 1500s. And so even some of the previous outbreaks of SARS and some of those other things didn't technically qualify for what we're dealing with now. But I mean, I'm going to talk to you now. I'm going to talk to Pastor Harut in Syria in the next segment. And the interesting thing about it is everyone in every corner of the globe, terrorist, free citizen, tyrannical leader, freely elected president, you name them, no matter where they are, any practitioner of any religion. They are all under this same circumstance right now. And it is one of those, I think, unique moments in history where maybe God's trying to talk to us about what's going on. What's your take on this, Pastor?
I have a lot of thoughts. You know, it's sometimes difficult to know which one to focus on, but two or three keep coming to the surface. One is that this is a defining moment for the church. This is a defining moment of the church. Early on, Kevin, I think it was like March 2nd or 3rd, when we all began really feeling the first wave or fear right. of this. Early on one morning, as I was praying, and I'll be careful to say this, I don't say it lightly, but I felt like the Lord told me something. I'm sorry, my voice is really, I've been doing a lot of talking.
That's okay.
And so forgive me if I have to clear my throat a time or two.
That's okay.
But what I felt the Lord saying is that this is a Joseph moment for the church. And the Old Testament story of Joseph, as you remember, Joseph stored up as prime minister of Egypt, 7 years of grain to help the world survive 7 years of famine. In like manner, Kevin, I think the church, seven is always the number for completeness. I believe we have complete, not grain, but hope. We have our silos are full of hope. We have hope in the sovereignty of God. We have hope in the promise of heaven. We have hope in Jesus Christ who died for our sins. This is our hope. And we may not realize how valuable this hope is. Now is our opportunity to come together as the church and be that distribution tool. This is a defining moment in which we can offer this hope. We don't need to be pointing fingers of, you know, judgment. This isn't the time for us to be saying God is punishing certain people for this. I've heard a little bit of that, and that disturbs me. Now is the time for us to invite people to come to our good and gracious God as a sovereign Lord. This is a harvest time. So that, I think, is my big – that's the message that I come back to, Kevin,
yeah.
A defining moment, a Joseph moment in the history of the church.
Well, you know what's interesting about that, Max, and I really do appreciate the sensitivity with which you're communicating that. But I've been having on a number of my pastoral friends over the last 3 weeks, and every couple of days, just getting a shepherd to give us a little word of encouragement. And almost to a person, and I haven't asked you about what you've done at your church, but I, almost to a person, every one of them thus far have said that, you know what, they, of course, enter this season with a lot of fear. It's naturally understood, you know, what's going to happen, what's going to happen to my family, what's going to happen to my kids, but what's going to happen to our body? If, are we going to fall apart if we don't get to meet for a month or 2 months or 3 months or 9 months in a physical location and can't actually gather together? You know, so many churches are dependent, to be very frank, on passing the plate in person to pay bills and to fund ministry and to do all that kind of stuff. But almost to a person, the shepherds that have come on have said, you know what, we put our Sunday service on the internet, and where we would normally have 2,000 people that may tune in because they can't get to a physical location, we had 9,000 people tune in, some of them for the first time, saying, I want to know more about what this Jesus is that the Christians are talking about right now. Another church, the Liquid Church out in New Jersey, they normally have about 5,000. They had like 40,000 people. And it was basically their body sending out links and inviting and drawing them together. And when you're talking about being that distribution point, Max, it's hard because we can't physically do what we are normally inclined to do as ministers, which is to go to people, help people, do what is necessary to be with people in that regard. And it's just, it strikes me as a way and a time in which we may have to rethink some of how we do some of that outreach.
I'm so proud of the church, Kevin. As I've talked to pastors and then as I've heard of reports, I think there was the initial body blow of this. You know, we felt like, well, they're kicking the gut. What are we going to do? But within at least a week, sometimes 3 or 4 days, I heard of churches coming up with phenomenal responses that fell within the guidelines that the government is asking us to obey.
Right.
But we're very creative. And we have found the same thing, Kevin. Our online audience has increased. It's at least doubled and getting close to tripled. And I was so grateful to get a report earlier this week that our giving, while still under budget, is more than it was this time last
year. Wow. Wow.
And I don't, you know, we're not arm twisting people.
No, it's God's sovereignty.
Everybody on our staff took a slight reduction in salary, and we've just been honest with the church and said, you know, here's where we are, and asked them to pray about it. And the response has been really good.
Yeah.
So I don't know what will look like the church on the other end of this, Kevin. We may be entirely different. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to change us. We may all be selling our church buildings and saying, hey, we can do this better, more virally. I don't know. But I do know the church was made for a time like this.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. I'd like to talk to you for a moment about ADF, the Alliance Defending Freedom. You've seen how your freedom is under attack. But if you act now, you can protect your family today and for generations to come. Go to ChristianOutlook.com to find out how you can join Alliance Defending Freedom to help ensure that the opponents of freedom don't dictate your future. That's ChristianOutlook.com. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.